Good afternoon. Today is Monday, February the 20th. Happy President's Day, everybody. Joining us this afternoon is the president of Redwood Capital Bank. I know I'm hedging a little bit, but that's okay. John Dolly.
Brian, it's good to see you.
You know, CEO is pronounced president, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. So.
But they not necessarily are always together.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
Like when board meetings happen.
Depends on how bored you are.
But until then, you're president.
Good to be here with you, Brian.
Good. I certainly hope so.
Hopefully the program
Everybody
will get
else.
Better.
Yeah. This afternoon, we're going to talk about selecting good employees. How to or how to be selected as a good employee. John's got his, well, I was going to say business Bible. Is that appropriate?
No, but it's a big book.
Okay, it's a big, thick book that weighs as much as a business Bible. We'll talk about upgrading, top grading, selecting the best, and keeping them when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 4:15. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dolby. But before we do, we have a proverb. On President's Day, as selected by President John, quote, "He who lies down with the dogs rises with the fleas." You know, I could have said rises with a cat. But that probably would take all the thunder out of it, huh?
Something like that,
Hey, I understand you're back in Rotary.
I have been for a while.
Okay, well, you know, I don't go to that club that regularly, so obviously.
Yeah. Well, neither do I.
Yeah, apparently. Oh, welcome back into the fold.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it being this presidential theme and you having been one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then returning back to the flock. Little prodigal son thing going on there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed my year as president at Rotary. It was, I'm a member of Southwest and, you know,
Eureka.
Yeah, Eureka. And that being the best Rotary club in the area, you know,
it would be the best one
very
in Southwest
prestigious.
Eureka.
Yeah, very prestigious. Yeah, be a member of that club.
More
well, that's right. You're not a member of that club. You're a member of some other club, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
What was the name of that one? I always forget.
You realize now we've got Garberville all the way up into Brookings. All those Rotarians listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, all and thinking very positive things towards you.
Yes, yeah, because they admire the Southwest Eureka Rotary Club so much. It's actually the Rotary Club of Southwest Eureka.
I mean, now you got the name right, too.
Yeah, there
Gee,
you go.
Please. You did pass the handshake to get back in. So let's talk about being a good employee first, because I think before you can be hired as one, you got to know what it is, and before you can present yourself as one, you need to have some kind of an idea what folks are looking for. So What is a good employee?
Well, of course, you know, there's lots of different jobs, so you could a lot of different definitions, but you
okay,
know,
let
on
me,
a general
let me make it
on
for
a
you.
Macro, no, I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
On a macro perspective, some of the general things that will make you a great employee is number one, understanding why you're being hired. Having a purpose. For instance, most businesses hire you because they want to make money. So you need to make money for whoever you're working for. The other one is, and one of my favorite phrases, is to be a manager of one. Regardless whether you're a supervisor or whether you're just part of a team or you work on your own, being a manager of one means that you manage your own time, that you don't have to be asked. You see things that need to be done, and you do them.
You stay out of other people's business?
Well, to some degree, but...
Focus?
Yeah, I mean, if you walk in and you're a clerk in a retail business and you see the floors need to be swept, a manager of one would sweep the floors.
Handle it.
Take care of it. somebody who's not a manager of one who needs to be managed will have to be told to sweep the floor.
So more of a self-starter might be
exactly
a phrase that was used two or three decades ago.
Self-initiating, self-starter. There's a number of different terms.
Entrepreneurial spirit.
But certainly, that's what I'm looking for when I hire somebody is if I have to sit and tell them every day, I want you to do this, I'm going to become frustrated over a period of time because I don't have time to do that. I need somebody who's going to take it and then take responsibility for what they've been given charge.
So that's a post-hire. How does somebody demonstrate that as a potential employee that does have that skill set?
That's the challenge, is how, identifying somebody that will be a good fit for your organization through what is the interview process is extremely challenging. And for those people that have hired and made bad decisions, which I have.
Everybody who's hired anybody
yeah.
at some point, yeah.
I've made a number of very bad decisions, and it's really hard to undo bad decisions as compared to taking the additional time and making sure that you're making a good decision on the front end.
Nonverbal communication is a huge component that a lot of people will overlook, ignore, be unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
So to be a good employee or prospective employee, how do you present the nonverbal portions in a manner that is reflective of what you are, but also indicating that you are a good prospect?
It depends on the type of job that you're applying for.
Let's go back to our clerk with the messy floor.
Okay. A clerk has to have some personality. They have to present themselves. They have to have, a good first impression, be pleasant, somebody that when they walk in the room, you want to have a conversation with them, that they draw you into conversation. Those are the things that you're looking for, whether it's verbal or nonverbal. You get a feel whether you like the person. Are they likable? That's very important in a position in which they are representing your company to your customers. Now, if it's a backroom job.
Yeah, so I say, okay, behind the wall.
Right. If it's behind the wall, well, then you're looking for another set of skill sets, and that touchy-feely is less important, but it is in that you want to make sure that they're good team people, that they play along. And
yeah, lobbing hand grenades over the wall out onto the retail floor.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah.
When you make a bad hire, you find out pretty quickly. On the second day when they know more about,
everything,
time cards, meal periods, breaks, they start quoting you the law, guess what? You're probably in trouble. Not that you shouldn't be complying, but you've got somebody who now is going to be taking a check mark and that they're going to be looking over your shoulder. And every time they don't get a break or meal period, they're going to mark it on their calendar, and then at the end you get to, deal with
the
labor board. Yeah,
29 minutes for lunch instead of 30 and say they couldn't take a full lunch.
Right.
Yeah. I would think some folks would feel very comfortable with a personality profile in that kind of a situation. Do some tests, that something ought to pop up. Have you had much success in those profile tests?
Yes.
Employees. Is mm-hmm. that something you would recommend for most positions, senior positions, folks to take it on their own a couple of times so they know what to anticipate?
Well, the assumption is that a senior position is more important and therefore you should take more time in it. But if you're a small business and you're going to have one or two employees, That's right. Yeah. That position is probably more important than maybe a senior position in a large company. I hate to just put a hierarchy and say, bottom line is every hire is important.
Compensation levels, though, you got a whole lot more at risk on that first paycheck with certain people than you do with other positions.
Certainly do. Yes, we've used profiling. We've used a profile called DISC, D-I-S-C, And it's fairly easy to do. They answer a few questions, and within a few minutes, you do your own analysis, and you get an idea of. And now it's not going to tell you whether or not, you know, they're going to create problems for you, but it's going to tell you where their competencies lie, how they think, whether or not this is a detail-oriented person, whether or not this is a people-oriented person. You know, what are they focused on? How are they driven?
You need to know pretty much what the skill sets are for the position you're hiring, and then marry the two.
Exactly. So, you know, if you're looking for a position that's going to be glad handing a lot of people, but you hire somebody in this profile that is a C, you know, they're a little more introverted, and they're gonna struggle with that job. Same way, the other way, you know. In this program,
if you have somebody who's an accounting position, yeah,
right, who's an I, and you want them to do detail work, it's not going to work. I also use the DISC profiling when I make assignments for jobs, you know, or different duties that need to be done, or special projects, because, you know, I'll look at the special project, and then I'll look at, you know, the temperament and the competencies, and say, okay, this person is the best person to do this job, this person is best to do this job.
Certain skill sets still come into play.
Absolutely.
KINS, News and Information Time, 425. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 4:28. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. John, as we're looking at from the employee or the prospective employee's perspective, how much homework in doing research on the business, in the industry, makes sense? Should we do an exhaustive background and know everything, or be frustrated if we can't find anything, or how much of that coming to the table during the interview process really is something that will pay off in either making the cut or possibly being offered the job at that first meeting?
Well, one, I'm a firm believer that the interview process is as much for the prospective employee as it is for the employer. So I want that applicant to spend some time asking about my company, our culture, our philosophies, what's important, how we operate, philosophically, how do things work?
What if it's somebody who's an existing customer and they think that they know those things? They've scoped out the business. Say it's a restaurant. They've been there, they know the staff, they know the culture, they know the atmosphere, they know a lot of the existing patrons. They kind of have a general sense.
Yeah, that's an exception to it, and
that
certainly
that would work.
That's happened all. In fact, the majority of our hires we've known or we've worked with before. So for our institution, it's been relatively easy. But when I'm hiring somebody who's never worked with us, I want them to ask me questions. I want them to be inquiring, and I will tell them right up front, it's as important that you want to work here as it is that we want to work here. Sometimes you go into these, and the assumption is that if the employer says yes, it's a done deal. But really, the employee should be looking at it and saying, you know, these questions. I had one gentleman who wanted to hire me quite a while ago, and had several interviews, and each time I was asking, what value are you looking for me to bring to your company? Because I kept thinking, okay, my skill set and what they do doesn't work. Why would you want to hire me? because I want to arrive and I want to be a benefit to them. I want to help their company go to the next level. I want
well, then it helps for long-term employment stability too.
Sure,
doing it right.
And yeah. if it's a win, you know, if it's a win for them and a win for me, it's a win-win, and then we have a long-term relationship, and that's what you're looking for.
But he'd never tell you.
He didn't. No, tell you. And we didn't do it.
Good move. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. John, we've spent the first half of the program talking about prospective employee. Now let's focus a little bit on the prospective employer. What are they looking, or what should they be looking for? What should they be focusing on as they start the process of finding an employee?
Based on the nature of your business, you're going to approach it in one of two ways. You know, most jobs, you have an idea of exactly what are the competencies you need, what are the skill levels you need, and what is the type of temperament you need. You should know those things. You know, so that's the most traditional and the most common. The other type, if your business is, you know, more in flux, it's more creative, you're not sure which direction it's going to go. The other school of thought is you go out and you get the very, very best people. And this is what Jim Collins put in his book.
Well, baseball teams and sporting teams, yeah, they don't hire the best postman. They sign the best athlete. And then adjust to the skill sets and the abilities that they have on their baseball team, football team, basketball.
So, you know, in that case, what you're doing is you're getting the best people you can, then you put them all on the bus, and then you decide where you're going based on what skills you have.
Fuel it up, baby, okay. And go, yeah.
Well, that works for some companies. Most of them are in the first model, and that is you want somebody to do this particular job. This is where they need to fit in. Do you need an extrovert? Do you need an introvert? Do you need somebody who can be incredibly warm and friendly, or do you need somebody who's going to be focused and anal about getting certain things done? And we've all experienced the clerk that is not terribly friendly, but really knows their stuff, and sometimes it can be very frustrating, even though they're very, very knowledgeable. So it is important to understand what it is you're looking for. And then the process is.
And that gets to another question about base level competencies. You get somebody who's a great people person, but they're making mistakes all the time, and somebody's having to clean them up, or you're having to pay overtime to have them clean it up, or having less effective use of their time versus somebody who might not be as fuzzy and warm, but you know that it's always done 100% right to the T, and you never have to double check it. Sometimes there's that back thing called emotional drain that you don't have to worry about.
The book that you were referring to at the top of the hour is by Brad Smart called Top Grading. And it is a huge book about the process of interviewing people. And of course, this is interviewing people at very high level positions, but certainly a lot of the principles apply. And in one of his chapters, chapter 9, he talks about competencies, just what you were referring to. And he categorizes them in three different areas or categories. You know, the first one is competencies that are relatively easy to change. Then the next one is those are harder to do but doable. And the last category are competencies that are extremely difficult to change. And so as you're interviewing a person and you find shortages, you want to make sure that they're in the easy to change category. Some of those companies include risk-taking, being on the leading edge, education. You can always, you know, give somebody more education experience because they can gain that. Organization planning, self-awareness, some communication skills, customer focus, political savvy.
Risk-taking is seen as something that can change.
Mm-hmm.
See, normalizing it. Oh my gosh, you know, sweaty palms the first 10 times, and then it becomes routine and rote after a while. But if somebody's not an innate risk taker, you put them in a position that's part of the job, I would think you'd have turnover.
The risk issue there is more of one of confidence. Most people don't take risks at work because they're afraid to lose their job if I make a mistake. Let me give you an example of that. If I give an employee the right to waive a fee of $25 and they waive that fee and I come screaming at them, guess what? Next time they come in, somebody comes in and needs a fee waived, they're not going to do it. So in essence, I can I can encourage that person to take the risk or discourage them.
So it's not a personal risk necessarily.
Correct. It's not somebody who's going to go out there, you know, hey, I'm going to risk my life. But certainly it's, you know, risk-taking. Some of the things that are very difficult to change are intelligence. So apparently there is no hope for us.
Yeah. You know, the lobotomy thing really worked, but yeah. In the wrong way. Yeah.
Analysis skills, creativity, conceptual ability, integrity, assertiveness.
That's interesting.
Yeah, integrity. Okay. Assertiveness, inspiring followership. Energy, passion, ambition. You know, one of the things that I'm constantly telling my employees as they're looking for, you know, or supervisors, they're looking for somebody to be a supervisor. You know, if you're trying to make
backfill behind,
right? Yeah. You know, so if I'm trying to find a supervisor for that, we, you know, among the team, who's going to be there? It's one thing to be a supervisor, it's another to be a leader. And a leader, you can tell, because regardless of the position they're in, they inspire followership.
They attract people.
Correct. People follow them, whether they have a title or not. And that's what you're looking for when you're going to hire somebody who's going to supervise other people, is even without a title, do people follow them?
Not off the cliff, but follow.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that... Yeah.
That's another issue if they're going following me in a good or bad direction.
Well, and that, I think a lot of people have heard the phrase, he lights up a room, she lights up the room. It's tough to really go, yeah, and clearly define that one. But it's kind of like what the Supreme Court justice came up with, pornography. I don't know how to describe it, but when I see it, I know what it is. I would think something like... That so how much of the hiring process from the employer or prospective employer is intuitive? And you can't really, how do you document a leader? That's tough. Or somebody who lights up the room, but you know it.
Yeah. Keep in mind, there are people that are really good at interviewing for jobs. And they can get you to believe anything about them they want you to. And generally, you're going to have a bad experience with that employee. And that's where you've got to do your background checks, check your references, make sure. You're always better off if you're hiring somebody you know something about ahead of time. You know, either they've worked for a competitor or you've worked with them in the past. You know, those are always the safer hires because you know what you're getting. It's that unknown that then, you know, makes you very, very nervous about who am I bringing into my organization. And then the next question you're asking me is, how do I get them out of my organization? So that's where the fear jumps in. So you got to take some risk.
KINS. I got it. Hopefully everybody else did. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:43. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:47. We're back talking shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. John, there were two elements when you were talking about things that are tough, things that you hire for, that came in. Cultural. Not the company's cultural. The employee or prospective hires. Personal culture. I think we've all had experiences, but a real simple one would be you're hiring, let's say, for a mid-level position, and the person's family culture is one of being entry-level. So when they go home or when they see family, all of a sudden they become the target, not because they've changed, because now they have a title. You know, a foreman, for example, would be one of those positions. Things change as they go up the management ranks. How do you hire for that component? Is it just talking somebody through, or is there a specific area? So if you're hiring for management or mid-level management, it's something extra in the hiring process.
Wow. I have no idea.
Okay.
I mean, I've never really, given...
I'll share a story then after we're done with the show.
Yeah, I mean... I'm sure there are examples of where, culturally, because of either their background or their family, that moving up the ladder or taking, other positions, may cause them some grief at home, but certainly we wouldn't take that in consideration at hiring, nor would there be any way to really determine that.
Do you recommend hiring, quote unquote, the spouse, the interview?
If I have, and we have done that, we have hired family members of other employees. We just make sure that they're separate. And in two cases in my history, I've had to let
one of them go.
Yeah. And that is a real danger. So anytime you're hiring somebody who's a family member of another employee, boy, you're taking a big risk because you could lose both. Now, I didn't, but you could lose both.
Or at least anticipate.
Yeah. And that may not be a bad thing. Who knows?
Yeah, Again, you're looking hard at me. Oh, it's interesting as people do shift from job to job or change. If you were hiring somebody who was not from the area, how would that complicate things?
You're going to have less understanding of the company that they were working with. You're not going to have any contextual references to what they were doing and so forth. And I did that once, and I didn't do enough background checking. And I ended up making a very, very bad hire from somebody who had moved into the area and had, this very impressive resume. But when push came to shove, and then not only did they not work out with us, they went to another employer and lasted a very short period of time with them also. So again, that's where you have to check your references and be very, very sure not only that you've checked references, but you've checked the references.
The reference check, yeah. The book again?
Is Top Grading by Brad Smart. It's not an easy read, but certainly there's a lot of gems in here.
Thanks for coming by and for sharing.
Anytime, Brian.
Yeah, now that it's on the internet, it's there for all. We've been talking shop this afternoon with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Enjoy President's Day. See you tomorrow morning.